You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bend the heart and the head, looking to you to deal with us according to your grace, not according to what we deserve or what we've earned, but our God, according to your wonderful person, because of who you are. Honor yourself, keep thy people across the face of the earth, keep us, that we might be to you, to the praise and honor and glory of your great name. So God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you do, even now. Father, we thank you also. So, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, as we start, I would remind you in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. That's named Herod named built a city, and he called it Tiberias for the emperor. And they called the lake the Sea of Galilee. Sometime they called it the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them and that were diseased. So here's a great multitude following him. And because of all that he did, in the light of all the infirmities of people, that is unlisted, unknown, miracles. Now, in the light of that, miracles. We're just going to stop, if we can. And what is a miracle? What is a miracle, and how do they work? Where do miracles fit into your life? Miracles. Now, so in the light of that, keeping you aware of, as you know, God's awesome, glorious person is always being who he is. He can never be other than who he is, ever. He is the creator, and he hath created all things, all things. And why did he create all things? Because of who he is. He is the creator. What would you expect someone who creates to do? He created all things. Now, and he did so for his great name's sake, because of who he is, and to express, to give expression to his wonderful person, for God to express himself, as it were. And God created the angels. And then following that, as you know, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and God created the universe as we know it. God created the earth, and on the earth God created man, humans, male and female created them. And thus God did that. God created all that. All of that is out here. We're there. We're very conscious of all of it. We're conscious of the heavens. We're conscious of being human. We are somewhat conscious of angels. We're conscious. Now, in order to get a little more oomph, put a little more oomph into that, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I would remind us, remember now you're looking at why God miracles, And where do they fit in? God created it all. All of it's for him. And humans were to enjoy and profit from a personal relationship to the Creator. So Romans 1:20, as you know, the invisible things of him, remember the things you can't see, are more eternal and important than things you can see. The invisible things from the creation of the world, how are they clearly seen? Being understood, how so? By the things that are made. Even his eternal power, and Godhead, his deity, all that belongs to God, all that proceeds from God, his deity, the Godhead. And thus in the light of that, everything, and so that, the end of verse 20, so that they are without excuse. So God clearly is God. His creation clearly defines and describes his unique ability, obviously, as creator, and his power, the power to do that creation. Now, having said that, all that he did that, he did. Now I want to add to that, over to Romans 11. Romans 11, remember, in the light of Israel, you've got 9, 10, and 11 of Romans that tells you, what about the nation of Israel? And so now we're going to come to the end of that particular section. And if I may go, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompense given back unto him again? And the basis for that of the whole thing is, for of him, you remember, for of him, he's the source, out of him, he is the source, and through him, he is the agent, he's the source, and he's the one that makes it all happen, and to him, he is the object. He's the ultimate cause of it all. And so when you're done, he's the source. He makes it all happen. And he makes it all happen so that he ends up getting all the glory and all the honor. Now, and thus, verse 36, are all things, everything is of him, through him, to him, all things to whom be glory forever and ever. So everything is about who he is. And understandably, if he's the creator, then all of creation must just logically honor him. Now, over if you would please, in the light of that, over to the book of Revelation and chapter 4 to add one other piece. Revelation chapter 4. And may I pick up, as you know, we did when we did Revelation 4 and 5, etc. And in Revelation chapter 4, you have a great window to God gives us to see the activity in God's eternal heaven of heavens. Verse 11. And then, I'll read verse 4. Verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou hast created all things, they are for your pleasure, for your expressed your inclination, your gracious disposition is to do what you have done. Your own good pleasure is to be outworked. God, you would have outworked that which you have in mind. Thus and for thy pleasure, they exist. Everything exists because of his good plan, purposeful, gracious pleasure to honor his wonderful creativity. Are all things for thy pleasure, they have been and are created. That's why they exist. Everything exists because God created it. Now, God and you created humans, angels up there, and then humans to follow, to honor you, to give expression, to make an expression, to have an experience, to have an enjoyable experience of who you are. Now, silly illustration. Here's the wooden pulpit, and the pulpit's there and made of wood, and make believe I did it. I cut the tree down and cut the wood and cut the wood and fashioned the wood, and here it is. And this wood has no way to appreciate or to express that to me, that I was pleased to do this. But if I could go to a little story, you remember Pinocchio. The piece of wood came to life. If this could come to life, it could reflect back to the Creator. But it has no life. You do. We do. To reflect back to the Creator. That's what it's about. Trees, birds, bugs, don't do that. Humans do that. Now, God, what are you going to do to help humans that have to catch on how it works and they don't do very well? Well, then, God, in your wonderful outworking of all of history, you have miracles. The miracles are very purposeful. They give expression to your creativeness, who you are. And miracles are made to go through the exercise and experience to realize what? All of what are all of them for? So that we could realize your wonderful omnipotence, your omniscience, your omnipresence, God. How are we ever going to appreciate that? That you know everything, you are everywhere, and all powerful. Now, God, here we are on planet Earth, and how are we going to discover that? Well, one of the ways that God has chosen to do is by miracles. And thus, God, and what are they supposed to do? And what are the purpose of it? What's the purpose of them? It's to awaken the heart, and the mind about God. To the miracle, the wonder, the power is to get us to pay attention to where it comes from, why it's there, so that we can do what? Why did God make it happen? So that we could understand and look past the thing. All it has a reason, always a lesson in it, always a lesson, always a purpose, always authority, great authority with it, to get, not to the miracle. The miracle gets you somewhere. But if you don't get somewhere, all you got was to the show. But you didn't get to past to see the wonderment of why the show existed. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45. Isaiah 45. Now, God created, and just remember the Sunday school hour where we talked about God singular in the New Testament. And in doing so, and I should add to that, for those who weren't there, remember, you weren't there, you wouldn't know, in the purpose of that, singular, the plural has to be singular in the New Testament for a reason, we went through that. But, in the process, they all worshipped people way back from square one, Tower of Babel. They worshiping heaven, sun, moon, stars, planets. We went through that in Sunday school. And they worship that. That's what they do. And I wanted to add, they do all that because they it's higher than, other than, and they give that, those items, intelligence. And the word they use is demons. Demons. The demons. They trusted the demons out there. Now, instead of God. So now, chapter 45, Isaiah. Isaiah 45, God, you created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. That's right. And the heavens and the earth, and Romans 1:20, we're to pay attention to the creation in order to discover the Creator. So now, in verse 18, Isaiah 45. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He hath created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. That's why we're on planet earth. I am the Lord and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I didn't say to seek for nothing. If you seek me, you will find me. Seek ye in me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. It is my responsibility. The end of verse 21. Have not I, the Lord, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. I'm the only God and the only Savior. Therefore, verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. God, you created the heavens and the earth, and they are a perpetual testimony to who you are. And if we would find, not to find, make them God, we don't want to make them God, Exodus 20, 1, 2, and 3, and 4, first and second commandment, we don't want to break that. No, we aren't going to make anything God except you. So therefore, now, in the light of that, what do we know? You created the heavens and the earth, and that's why you're going to keep reading. I created the heavens and the earth. I created the heavens and the earth. You keep reading it. Why? Because I want you to understand. And thus you know Abraham. How did Abraham do? Well, what did God tell Abraham to do? Look up at the stars. I want you to look up at the stars, and I want you to look up there. Look toward heaven and tell me about the stars. Not to worship them. You say, boy, you are some creator. Abraham said, you are something else, God. And Abraham believed on God for righteousness. That's what he did. What did he do? He looked up and said, wow. That's right. Now, having said that and keeping that in the forefront, you know Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth his, the firmament showeth his handiwork. The word firmament is the word expanse, to spread out, and here's the, and to spread out, what do we spread out? The sun, moon, stars, all of the planets, galaxies are just like that. The firmament out there. Wow. Wow. Declares what? The glory of God. The wonderment of God. Thus, shows the world around us. Everyone pay attention to it. Now, God, when you go from that to personally, what happens to get somebody's attention? We're humans. You want to get our attention. So, God, let's go somewhere that you've given in your word so that we can understand of a million zillion things, as you'll see if we get there, God has picked out just what he wants to say to you and me. In Genesis 1, chapter 1, he gives you this brief, chapter 1, 31 verses, whatever. And he's all done with that. You would like to have about 5 books. God said you don't need any more. And by the way, I'm going to tell you about 4 men for you to understand history. I'm going to give you 4 men: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc. I'm going to give you the men. And they're the men. That's out of that you're going to have history. Now, that's all I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you their life. You understand them, you'll understand everything that you need to know. So now, over if you would please, in the light of that, God gets our attention. That's right. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Now, just you say, well, what is this? It has nothing to do. Oh, it just the very fact that it exists and God did it. That's a wonderful thing. And if you want to get, just read your Bible, and then as you read your Bible, just absorb the little statements of what God does. And God moved the sea. And God took the wind. Everything in our world, the marvel of God's presence, magnifying himself. But people don't pay attention. Now, Exodus chapter 4, picking up please. Remember Moses, God is getting Moses' attention. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And remember, he cast the rod down, became a snake, and etc. Now, skipping if I may. And verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. Think of your robe, a sukkot dress. And he slid his hand inside. And now put thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, white as snow. Completely full of leprosy. Wow. Wouldn't you be impressed? I mean, you put it in and say, what's going on in there? And you pull your hand out. And then God said, hey, did you get that? Now watch, said God, watch. And thus, verse 7, he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as is the flesh. It became the same. And it shall come to pass, said God, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign. I'm going to give them signs, markers, things to pay attention to. Of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. I'm going to give them signs. Now, they could pay attention and learn a lot and learn it quickly and not have to go through a whole lot. But if they don't learn, they're going to get another sign and another sign and another sign. Now, Exodus chapter 7. Moses, you know, God, does God have power? Yeah, I put my hand in there and I pulled it back out again. I threw the rod in the ground and I picked the rod up. Wow, it became a snake and then it didn't, became my rod again. I said, God said, I want you to know who you're trusting, who you're looking to. Who shall I say has sent me? Exodus 3:14. I am that I am. Well, who is I am? I am happens to be the Creator. And I am. So Moses, you're going to have to learn something about me in order to enjoy and exercise rightly who I am. Chapter 7, Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. And thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of the land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. They aren't going to pay attention, but I'm going to do them one after another. But I'm going to win one sign after another. And finally, they're going to surrender. Verse 4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies, speaking of a bunch of slaves, God promotes them to his army. And my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. When I do that, Israel shall know. Wow. Chapter 14. And remember in verse 12, the Israelites are going out. Now Egypt is going to learn. Israel is going to learn. Everyone's going to be educated by the signs, wonders, and miracles. In Exodus chapter 14, picking up, like, here's Israel's thinking. Verse 12, is not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt on the way out, saying, let us alone. We don't want to really leave Egypt. We may not have the best, but we like it. That we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Better that than that we die in the wilderness. Sliding down, if I may, and to verse 16. But lift thou thy rod, Aaron, remember Moses is there, lift thou thy rod and stretch forth thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. You're going to lift the rod. That's what you're going to do. Behold, verse 17, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And all the Egyptians shall know, what are they going to know? That I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. So the rest of Egypt that doesn't go into the Red Sea is going to pay attention. They're going to learn something wonderful about God. Verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And you know, you keep reading, God took the sea, here's the Red Sea, 4.5 miles up there in the northern part of the Red Sea, and he just took and blew the east wind and moved the waters and became two walls, just like this. They could pass right between them, just like that. God did that. Nothing to it. Just like putting your hand, leper, and clean, like the rod. Egypt, pay attention. Ah, they did. Israel, pay attention. Ah, they did. If you would. And in verse 29. But the children of Israel walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And they went across the sea in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, verse 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Well, they're impressed. They're impressed by what the miracle was. No question. It's a great, great, if not the greatest, wonderment of the Old Testament. And here's all the nations. All the nations. The Egyptians' nation, Philistines, Syrians, all of them. What did they do? The Red Sea. They crossed the Red Sea. That's an awful... The Red Sea. I'm impressed. I'd be impressed. That's why they're all afraid. If Israel would have kept with it, they could have marched and no one would have touched them. Who's going to touch them? With a God who can open the Red Sea. And it's all attested to. Wow. Wow. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. This is actually a factual accounting of the event. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. Wow, that's what he did. And verse 8. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, the floods stood upright in a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. God, a wonderful, wonderful event, God. A wonderful, wonderful sign, power. If there's ever power, God, you have done got power. And you're going back a step from this one, before this, remember the Genesis flood? You don't remember the flood? And the flood? What about the Genesis flood? Now, God, that's an awesome thing. And everyone, here's the Incas and the rest of them, they all account for the flood. They don't know how to describe it, but it was handed down. They all understood the flood. Wow. The fish that don't belong in Wyoming up in the mountain, up in the top of the mountain, the flood. Yeah, there's no question about the flood. Well, now what? Now, here's the flood. And what are you going to do, God? I'm going to give him a sign. The word sign is translated token of the rainbow. When you see the rainbow, remember the flood. When you remember the flood, remember the judgment. Remember the judgment. I'm not going to do that, but I am going to judge. The rainbow, the lesson, they say, you hear it, and the news will say it with the weather. See the picture of the rainbow. What's the message? It's a sign. God put it up there to pay attention to it. Wow. All right, hang on. So in the light of that, God's wonderful dealing. Over to John chapter 20. You have all kinds of stuff, you know. Wow. John chapter 20. And you'll notice, please, in the Gospel of John, the word signs, mark, sign, that which speaks of authority, authenticating, giving the authority for something, the power recognized. Sign, the sign. Now, sign, mark, miracle. Would you please note, in the Gospel of John, the word God uses, God has chosen to use the word signs, which you read in John 6, verse 2, and the miracle, and he did, and they saw his many miracles. That's why they were following him, because everyone in the room was touched that needed it with his miracle, with what he could do with disease and cripples and blinds and he could just do it. And the crowd was moved. And 17 times God uses that little word, signs. When you come to John 20, and you remember it, verse 30, many other signs, there's your word, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. These are not written. Many signs. Many, many signs. Sign. If you just put all the rest of it together, thousands of signs. Thousands of miracles. Wow. God picked 17. Are you impressed? Ah, Israel, are you impressed? Ah, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter speaking to the Jewish people, mostly Jewish people, Gentile proselytes. Acts chapter 2, picking up please in verse 22. him, I'll read verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. How so? How did he authenticate who he was? A man approved among you by miracles. Miracles, that's the word power. Dynamite, dynamic, power, ability, a might. And by miracles. And wonders is the verb. The verb out of that comes the word to tremble, to be terrified. It has to do with the effect. The effect of a wonder is supernatural. Miracles are one thing. Wonders are something else. Boy, do they get your attention. Wow. And thirdly, signs. Now, and here they are. And I'll read it now again in the middle. A man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him, he did them, in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. You know he did these things. Wow. Having been delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You kill them. You crucified them. You killed your miracle worker. That's what you did. Well, they couldn't handle them. Just couldn't handle them. Well, and you can see, you'll catch it if we can. Now, keep in mind, I can't do it now, but in this word, signs, there's another person, the source of signs, and the source of signs, among others, because the devil is a counterfeiter. The power, the influence, the effect of the devil is to imitate truth, imitate life, not darkness. Darkness, we don't want dark. We want light. Death, we already got that. We're looking for life. Christ brings death and light and right. The devil imitates. His ministers are angels, servants of what? Righteousness. He's an angel of what? Satan, an angel of light. What do you got to do? You got to come in and counterfeit. Imitate. The devil imitates. And I'll give you one place, and we can't do more than that. Over if you would. And remember now, the Jews want, in John 5:43 and that, Jesus said, might as well turn there, and I'll give you a little exercise. John chapter 5, verse 43. Okay, now, verse 43. I am come in my Father's, 5 and 43. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. Another will come in his own name, and him you will receive. You are going to receive him. Now, how is he going to come? You know from 2 Thessalonians without turning there. He's going to come with signs, wonders, and power. And they're called, translated in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, lying wonders. The same word. The devil is going to put on a show to get attention, to get approval. And he's going to keep the show going in order to gain control. The world is looking for a show, looking for some way, someone, somehow, whether it be an out of Europe in particular, to find somebody that could overcome their economic needs, Ireland and France, Ireland, Spain and Greece and Portugal and all of that, to overcome Italy, overcome all of the financial needs. Germany can't pay for all of it. Wow. And we're looking for some. We've got the immigration of the Muslim world taking over more and more of Europe. Wow. We need a man. And a man's going to come. But he's going to come imitating signs and wonders, lying wonders, power, with power. Wow. Now, having said that, in the light of that, so signs, say it simply and quickly, signs never save anybody. Wonders don't save anybody. They don't save anybody. It's a show to get attention. Now, either you either get the message, the source of it, the source, God, then that's good. The devil, that's bad. And thus, here they are, to say, you get saved. You can't get saved with signs and wonders. And that's why the Lord said, you know, John, Matthew 12 and that, the only sign I will give you is the sign of who? The prophet Jonah, as he was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the great fish. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth and rise again. That's the only sign I will give you. You want signs? I have given you thousands of signs and wonders and displays of power. And you flaunted them all and wanted something else and something else. And now you want another sign and another sign. The only sign I am going to give you is the sign of the prophet Jonah, is my resurrection. And one day at the tribulation, you are all going to go, the Jews especially, are going to, when they see him come, step out of heaven in his perfect humanity and the nail prints in his hand, and you're going to see him, and they're going to mourn as if it was an only begotten son, and they're going to go in the house ashamed that they crucified him. Who gave him all those signs? Signs don't save you. Over, if you would please, in closing. Over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. We didn't get very far in this. I hope you got a little bit, though. Miracles. Miracle. And boy, can God do them. Can God do them. And has God done them? Aha. Uh-huh. You bet. I'm impressed. I get excited. I start thinking about that and looking at it. I said, boy, overwhelmed, utterly overwhelmed I am. That's by it. And I'm in his presence, and so are you. I'm in the presence of the one that did all that. Now, chapter, what did I say? 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Picking up, if I may, you know, chapter 1, verse 21. And after this, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks or the Gentiles are looking for some intellectual reasoning, rationale, that they can come up and explain God. And how does a piece of wood explain the carpenter? You can't. No, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to bring God down to our level and our intellect, and we're going to dissect him and do it. No, you aren't. Nope. Verse, the Greeks after wisdom. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks or the Gentiles, foolishness, can't be true. And the Jews are stumbling over what? They're stumbling over the Christ who did all that is crucified. The God who's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, crucified? How can that be? No, they stumbled. They didn't understand. That's why he became, as we'll pick it up, if we make it to Christmas, I hope we don't, but if we did, you know. The most wonderful thing God ever did and the loudest word he ever said. Wow. Now, in 1 Corinthians, picking up please, and in verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And thus verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God. God, it's stupid, but not to the believing hearted and stupid. No, sir, not at all. In fact, verse 30, because we understand that in Christ God hath made in Christ Jesus, whom God has made unto us, God has given Christ to be unto us and for us that which we are deficient in. We don't have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. God has given Christ Jesus to be to us all that we are not. And in our bankruptcy, we become bank rich. And in the process of it all, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh is going to glory in his presence. That's why God said, you are so foolish to think that you're going to go and get some credit for all the wood doesn't get credit for making itself. The wood was created by God. God made the tree and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Creatures don't get credit. The Creator does. Do you have the right? All things are created for your pleasure and honor. Absolutely. Absolutely. And when humans start riling up, they're going to be like Pharaoh and their heart. They're going to fight God a little bit. Don't believe God. That's the day we're living in. You've got to get an age of unbelief. The unbelieving age is to be more unbelieving, so that they will harden their heart to the point that when a man of sin steps up there on the stage out of Europe, we're going to go and salute him as the answer. Wow. Now, so then, the end of verse 21, God, what is it all about? Well, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. All the miracles, all the wonders in all the world can never save me. And when I say, and you say, it took a miracle. No, it didn't take a miracle to save you. It took Christ's death on the cross to save you. It didn't take a miracle. It took a person and his death. I believe in miracles. I believe in the wondrous, awesome power of God. I believe that if he would to believe and move the tree from there over to there, if that was in the will of God, God could do it like nothing. But when it comes to the real nitty-gritty, I don't need a miracle. I need a Savior. I don't need a show. I need a helper. I need someone who can get me from A to B to C. And miracles and wonders don't do that. They don't do that. Only God does that. So when you say it will take a miracle, it may seem like that. But you have to get past the miracles. Because God isn't interested in showing the world miracles. He's interested in showing the world that Christ is able to live in your heart. You're able to have his resurrected life by his wonderful person. And that's the only sign the world is going to see until he comes. And the devil, of course, is going to have a whole lot of signs and a whole lot of wonders, no question. But here we are in this day of grace to show God, to show God's wonderful person. And thus, I'm not looking for a sign. We're looking for the Savior to take us home. That is not a sign, and that is not a miracle. It's an event. It's a hopeful, anticipated, expectant event. We call it the blessed what? The blessed hope. We do. Wow. Anyway, Jesus did many miracles, but for very good reasons. Our Father in God, we thank you for your patience and grace and kindness, and we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, and our Father will thank you. God, help us in all of this. In Christ's name, amen.